Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back to another week of Reads in the Workplace, Chabura. So this week we begin Sefer Bamidbar. The Torah says, "Vaydaber Hashem Moshe b'Midbar Sinai ba'ol mo'id be'echad achodesh ha'sheni ma'ashana ha'sheni sletzeisam me'eretz Mitzrayim le'mor." So Hashem spoke to Moshe in Midbar Sinai at Ol Moed. In the Medrash in Bamidbar Rabbah, so it notes that the teaching of Chazal, that there were three things with which the Torah was given. Begimul dvarim nitna ha'Torah. Be'ish uvamayim uvamidbar. That's why this medrash is quoted in on this pasuk, because Vaydaber Hashem Moshe b'midbar Sinai teaches that the Torah was given b'midbar. And the medrash explains that the common denominator of these three things, ish, fire, mayim, water, midbar, desert, is ma'elu chinam l'chol ba'i ha'olam kach divrei Torah chinam hin. Just as all three of these elements, fire, water, and the desert, all of them are free, they are unguarded, they can be accessed by all. So too, kach divrei Torah chinam hein. So too, divrei Torah are supposed to be for free. One is not supposed to charge for teaching divrei Torah. And similarly, the Gemara in Nedarim, Daf Lamed Zayin, Amud Aleph, and also in Bechoros, Daf Chav Tes, Amud Aleph, establishes that ma ani bechinam, af atem nami bechinam. Just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe Rabbeinu for free at Har Sinai, of course Hashem didn't charge Moshe when Moshe learned the Torah, so too, whenever we teach Torah to others, we are supposed to do so for free. That's what the Gemara learns from the pasuk Re'eli Manti Eschem Chukim U'Mishpatim Ka'asher Tzivani Hashem Elokai. Just as Hashem commanded Moshe to teach the Torah for, just as Hashem taught the Torah for free, so too he commanded Moshe to teach it for free. Ma'ani bechinam af atem nami bechinam. So I'd like to focus with you today on the following three questions with respect to this topic of receiving payment for teaching or learning Torah. The first question we're going to focus on is the scope of this prohibition. To what areas of Torah does it apply? Does it apply even beyond Torah? Does it apply to doing other mitzvos? And in addition to that, then we're going to transition to how exactly the scope of this prohibition reflects on the nature and the character of the prohibition. How do we come to understand the prohibition based on the areas to which it applies? And then finally, we'll wrap up by discussing some of the other ramifications of how we understand this prohibition to charge, to pay for learning or studying Torah. So let's begin with the question of scope. To what areas of Torah or other mitzvos does this principle of ma elu bechinam afa of ma ani bechinam afa tem nami bechinam, to what does it apply? So the first question we're going to address is whether we apply this only to dinim deoraisa, only to biblical laws, or also to rabbinic laws. So the background for this question is the Gemara Nedarim, Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, which is the locus classicus for this sugya, the Gemara Nedarim, which assumes that fundamentally, the Gemara there establishes that one is allowed to charge for teaching Torah Shebichsav, for teaching Mikra. And the Gemara cites a debate between two Amoraim, between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, about the reasoning for the heter, for the allowance to charge for teaching Torah Shebichsav. Rav explains that one is allowed to charge for it because it's called Schar Shimur. One is allowed to charge for watching little children. So when you're teaching Torah Shebichsav to children, you're also, you know, providing a care service. You're also, you know, making sure that they are healthy and safe. So by doing so, you're allowed to charge for your babysitting, so to speak, but not for the Torah itself, not for the education. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, there's a different reason why you're allowed to charge. It's because of it's what's called Schar Pisuk Ta'amin, which means that you're allowed to charge for teaching them how to read the text, the vowels or the tune that goes along with the text, not the actual substance of the text, the psukim and their meaning and the explanation. That's Torah Shebichsav, that's Talmud Torah, that's not allowed to be charged for. But the Pisuk Ta'amim, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that is allowed to be charged for. So you have a debate between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. Why is it that you're allowed to charge for teaching Torah Shebichsav, either because of Schar Shimur, that's Rav, or because of Schar Pisuk Ta'amim, that's Rabbi Yochanan. And the Gemara later, on Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, delves into this debate, and it tries to ascertain why each one of the Amoraim would reject the opinion of the other. So the Gemara explains that according to Rav, we do not accept Rabbi Yochanan's reasoning. Namely, according to Rav, we don't hold that you can charge for Pisuk to Amim, because according to Rav, Pisuk to Amim de Oraisahu. Rav holds that the tune, or the vowels that go along with the text, is considered something that's mid de Oraisa. It's considered of biblical origin, and on that basis, says Rav, one is not allowed to charge for it. The implication is that according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's only of rabbinic origin, and therefore one is allowed to charge for it. So the simple conclusion from the Gemara would be that one is allowed to charge for matters that are of biblical origin, but not matters that are of rabbinic source. And this actually is what one of the Rishonim, Rabbeinu Simcha, this is cited in the Hagos Maimonios in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Perek Aleph, Halacha Zayin, Rabbeinu Simcha, and this is later codified by the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch, in Yoredeya, Simen Rish Mem Vav Sif Hei, these Rishonim argue that the prohibition to charge for teaching Torah applies only to biblical laws, but not to rabbinic laws, not to rabbinic decrees that were later established, only to dinim that were explicitly given to Moshe at Har Sinai. I stress the word explicitly because of what we're about to cite, which is the opinion of the Aruch HaShulchan and other Achronim as well. So other Achronim question this. They say, why should this prohibition not apply to rabbinic laws? Because after all, everything, all of Torah, was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. Not only that which is stated in Torah Shebichsav, everything was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, everything was revealed to him at Ma'amad Har Sinai. So why should we limit it to the laws that are of the Oraisa origin? And that's what the Aruch HaShulchan says in Yoredeya Simen Rish Mem Vav Sif Yud Ches. He says, since the Derabbanans were also given in Har Sinai, so of course, this principle of Ma'ani Bechinam, Af Atem Nami Bechinam, the obligation to provide or teach Torah for free, should apply not only to Dinim De Oraisa, but also to Dinim Derabbanan. So there we have a debate between the Rishonim and the Achronim, whether we apply this principle only to De Oraisa or even to Derabbanans. Now let's go to the next question of scope. Does this principle apply only to Torah, only to the study of Torah, or does it apply to all mitzvos? So here we need another little bit of background. The Mishnah in Bechoros, Daf Chaf Tes Amud Aleph, tells us that if a judge or a witness accepts money for his work, so if a judge accepts money for giving out rulings, or a witness accepts money for his testimony, then those rulings and testimonies are null and void. They don't count. Now, I'm not getting into all of the other, within this topic, there's a lot of nuance and gray area, because there are some, one could receive payment for things that are not necessarily the judging or the testifying itself, but rather for the schar batala, what it's called. What one could have been doing had he not been acting as a judge or a witness or doing something else. So that's a Gemara in Ksubis, which says that one is allowed to receive schar batala, even if he's a dayan. So for example, if one is a judge, but he could have been doing other work at that time, and he could have been He could have been making a profit by doing other work at the time that he's acting as a judge, so he can receive the profit that he would have been accruing during the time that he functions as a judge. But one is not allowed to take payment directly for the job of being a judge. That's what the Mishnah Bechoros says, that directly for the job of being a judge or giving testimony, if one accepts money for those efforts, then the rulings and testimonies are null and void. And in addition to that, the Mishnah also says that this is a totally different law, that if one accepts money for sprinkling or mixing the mei chatas were the waters of the para aduma that were sprinkled on someone who was tamei lemeis in order to make him pure, in order to purify him, to make him tahor. So if one accepts money for that process of sprinkling or mixing the mei chatas, then those waters would also be disqualified and illegitimate. They would not work. They would not be efficacious in purifying the person who was tamei. And the Gemara there in Bechoros cites the drasha of Ma'ani Bechinam, Afatem Na'ami Bechinam, as the source for these laws. So the simple implication from the Gemara is that we're expanding the scope of this principle. We're applying it beyond just the learning of Torah, and we're applying it to other mitzvos as well, to judging, to testifying, to engaging in the process of the Para Aduma. That would be the simple interpretation. And indeed, the Tur in Yoredeya Simin Shin Lamed Vav says explicitly that the principle of Ma'ani Bechinam, Afatem Na'mi Bechinam, applies to all mitzvos, not just to Talmud Torah. And he actually says that this is based on a Ramban, that as such, a doctor is not allowed to charge for teaching the practice of medicine, because teaching the practice of medicine falls under the category of avedas gufo. We have an obligation to do hashavas aveda, to return lost items, and kol shekein, we have an obligation to return, quote-unquote, a lost person, meaning to heal other people. So therefore, says the Torah, a doctor is not allowed to charge for teaching the practice of medicine. Now, again, there are other considerations to take into account when we come to the practical question of how professors in medical school make money if they're observant, but that's a totally different question. I'm not getting to that halacha lemaisa issue, just the issue itself that directly for the teaching of the practice of medicine, that would be a problem of ma'ani bechinam afatem na'ami bechinam according to the Tur. However, not everybody agreed that this principle of ma'ani bechinam would apply beyond the realm of Talmud Torah, like the Tur says, to all mitzvos. And foremost of those Rishonim who thought that this applies only to Talmud Torah may be the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Perak Aleph Halacha Zayin, codifies this principle of Ma'ani Bechinam, Afatem Na'mi Bechinam, but he does not mention it anywhere else in the Yarach Hazaka. The Evan Ha'azel, Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer, in Hilchos Gezela, Perak Yud Beis Halacha Yud Beis, makes the argument that according to the Rambam, this principle is limited to the realm of Talmud Torah. It applies only to Talmud Torah. One is not allowed to, what Ma'ani Bechinam, Afatem Na'mi Bechinam is trying to teach is that one is not allowed to charge for the teaching of Torah, for education of Torah, but that principle would not be at play when it comes to charging for other mitzvos. So all in all, let's recap all of the different positions that we've seen so far. What is the scope of this principle of Ma'ani Bechinam? According to the Tur, it applies to all mitzvos, not just to Talmud Torah. For any mitzvah, one is not allowed to accept money for doing the mitzvah. That's the position of the Tur. Rabbeinu Simcha and the Ramah, they say it applies only to biblical laws, only to the teaching of biblical laws. And according to the Rambam, it applies specifically to Talmud Torah, not to other mitzvos. And we should add one more critical point, which is that according to the Rambam, it applies not to all Torah, but specifically to Torah Sheba'al Peh, specifically to the oral Torah, to the transmitted Torah, not to the written Torah. That's the position of the Rambam as understood by many of the Achronim, including the Karen Ora and also Rav Moshe Feinstein. So how does this whole debate about to what area we apply the principle of Ma'ani Bechinam, Afatem Na'mi Bechinam, that we have to do things in Avodas Hashem for free, how does this reflect on the nature, on the character of the prohibition? So I'd like to explore, suggest, three different approaches to how to understand this prohibition. The first coheres or aligns with the position of the Tur. The Tur was of the opinion that it applies to all mitzvos. Now, why would that be the case? So we might argue that the problem of accepting money for mitzvos is that we corrupt or compromise the whole enterprise of doing mitzvos by taking money for them. The Mishnah in Avos, in Perek Dalet Mishnah Hay, says about Talmud Torah, Al ta'asem atara lezgada bohem, one should not make them into a crown to glorify himself with them, v'lo kardom lachbor bohem, and he should not make them into a shovel to dig with, which means that you shouldn't make Torah into a business. And the Rashbats, Rab Shimon ben Samach, explains there in his commentary that by transforming the study of Torah into a business, one is mo'el b'kdushas ha'shal Torah. He misuses the purpose and the designation of Torah. And seemingly, this could be equally applicable to the whole realm of Avodas Hashem and mitzvos. Mitzvos, we do mitzvos because we're obligated to do them, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to do them out of Tzivoy Hashem. We don't do mitzvos in order to make money, in order to turn them into a business. It corrupts the entire enterprise. That might be the approach of the Tur, which applies this principle of ma'ani bechinam, afatem nami bechinam, not only to Talmud Torah, but also to all mitzvos. That's approach number one. Approach number two might stem from the position of Rabbeinu Simcha, who was of the opinion that it applies only to biblical laws, but not to rabbinic laws. And what lies behind that position is that this principle of learning Torah for free is limited to that which was given at Har Sinai. Why would we say that? So in general, we have a principle that the Torah that was given at Har Sinai should be studied in the way that it was given. Limud HaTorah now and always should mimic the giving of the Torah, Nesinas HaTorah. I'll give you a couple of other examples. The Gemara in Brachos, Daf Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, says that just as the Torah was given be'ema uve'yira uve'reses uve'zia, it was given with awesomeness and with fear and with trembling and trepidation, so too it must be studied in that fashion. One has to approach the learning of Torah with a sense of reverence and awe. It cannot be approached with lightheadedness. And seemingly the reason for that is because when we learn Torah, we're supposed to do so in the way that it was given. We're supposed to connect back to Kabbalah HaTorah and Nesinas HaTorah. Similarly, the Medrash in a couple of places says that the study of Torah is supposed to be joyful, just as Smeichim k'Nesinasan miSinai. Just as Klal Yisrael was joyful when it received the Torah at Har Sinai, so too we're supposed to have a sense of genuine joy when we learn Torah nowadays. Rav Hutner in Pachad Yitzchak in Shavuos in a couple of places, in Maimer Vav and also Maimer Lamed Beis, he explains that a condition for Limud HaTorah is its quality, its property of being k'nesinasa, of the Torah being matched and mirrored by the Torah that was given at Har Sinai. And he explains further beautifully that the idea of learning Torah the way that it was given at Har Sinai is to connect to the root of the Torah. The Torah was first revealed to us at Mamad Har Sinai, and every time that we learn Torah after that, we're connecting back to that root, and we're uncovering and revealing some extra element of the original Torah that was given. All of the Torah was revealed to Moshe at Har Sinai, and we're uncovering it, stage after stage after stage, generation after generation after generation. As such, we might explain the position of Rabbeinu Simcha, that we limit the principle of Ma'ilu Bechinom to that which was explicitly given at Har Sinai, because the whole idea of learning Torah for free is that it's supposed to mirror the Torah that was taught at Har Sinai. And just as the Torah was taught at Har Sinai from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe to Klal Yisrael was taught for free, so too we are supposed to teach Torah for free for generations. What about the Rambam? So the Rambam was of the opinion that Ma'ilu Bechinam applies only to Torah Shebaal Peh, only to the orally transmitted Torah. Why would that be the case? So I wanted to suggest that perhaps for the Rambam, the idea of making sure that Torah is free, that it's not for pay, is that to charge for Torah is to make Torah inaccessible and non-democratic. And by doing so, we undermine the ideal transmission of Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up the Torah Sheba'al Peh to be transmitted from Talmud to Rebbe, from father to son, from person to person, generation to generation. And it was set up in a way where everyone was supposed to have access to the Torah that the earlier generations knew. So by charging for Torah, one makes the Kabbalah HaTorah of each generation inaccessible. And therefore, ma'ani bechinam afatem nami bechinam is what I would term, it's a din in the ha'avaras ha'torah. It relates to how we transmit the Torah from generation to generation. And the truth is that if we're medayik, if we're careful with how we read the Rambam, in Perek Aleph Halacha Zayin of Hilchos Tam Torah, the Rambam goes out of his way to explain that just as Moshe learned the Torah from Hashem without charge, so too Klal Yisrael learned the Torah from Moshe without charge. And likewise, whenever they teach the Torah, they should teach it without charge. He goes out of his way to show how the Mesorah, how the passing down of the Torah from Hashem to Moshe Rabbeinu, from Moshe Rabbeinu to Klal Yisrael, all happened without any payment. And how that's supposed to be the structure, that's supposed to be the framework, the base for how we do so for posterity. That's the idea of Ma'ani Bechinam, Afatem Nami Bechinam. This whole principle may have major ramifications with respect to many, many areas. Unfortunately, we spent a lot of time going through the scope of this principle, so we don't have much time to go through any of the ramifications. I'll say one very, very quickly. The Machane Ephraim, he raises the following question. Does this principle apply only when one is obligated to do a mitzvah, or also when one volunteers to do a mitzvah? So he says there's a distinction between mitzvos and Talmud Torah. He says when it comes to mitzvos, this applies only when one is obligated to do the mitzvah. If you volunteer to do the mitzvah, then you could charge for it. But if you're obligated to do it, then you can't. But when it comes to Talmud Torah, says the Machane Ephraim, even when you voluntarily teach the Torah, you can't charge for it. What's the distinction? So I thought that it really revolves around exactly what we've been explaining. When it comes to other mitzvos, the idea of not accepting any payment is to have the right mindset, the right intentions, the right motivation. To charge for mitzvos would be to make it into a business. So when I'm obligated to do a mitzvah, I'm supposed to do it because of tzivoy Hashem, because Hashem commanded me to do it, not because I'm interested in the schar. But if I'm volunteering to do the mitzvah, so then my intention to receive payment doesn't really clash with what my intention is supposed to be, because it's voluntary. It's not obligatory. But when it comes to Talmud Torah, the property of being free, of Ma'ani Bechinam, is a property within the Chafta Shal Torah, that the Torah that's taught needs to be free. Torah is supposed to be accessible. It's supposed to be democratic. So whether I'm teaching it out of obligation or whether I'm teaching it out of voluntarism doesn't really matter. The Torah as a chefta, as an entity, needs to be something that is transmitted for free. So just to conclude, the Rambam in Hilchos Tamat Torah, Perek Gimel, Halacha Aleph, he writes very beautifully that Kasar Torah Hare Munach Ve'Omid Umuchan L'Chol Yisrael. The crown of Torah is available to all of Kal Yisrael. Kol Mi Sheyirtzeh Yavo V'Yitol. Anyone who wants it should come and take it. And we have an additional lens on what the Rambam means here from an additional perspective from what we've discussed throughout the Chabura. By definition, Torah is available to all, and therefore it needs to be provided for free. Ma'amad Har Sinai was a democratic event. It was an event where all of Klal Yisrael was there. All of Klal Yisrael was privy to Matan Torah. Since, after all, the Torah that was given at Ma'amad Har Sinai was Muchan L'Chol Yisrael, ready for everybody. So as we near our reacceptance of the Torah on this upcoming Chag HaShavuos, let us take advantage of the opportunity to merit the Kesar Torah, as the Rambam says, and be uplifted and inspired by the Torah that is within the grasp of each and every member of Klal Yisrael, just as the Medrash says, Ma'ilu B'chinam L'Chol Ba'i Olam Kach Divrei Torah Chinam Him. Wish everybody a great rest of the week and an upcoming good Yom Tov.